It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. I have psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings in the studio with me, and we are going to discuss with you the topic of forgiveness. If you have questions or comments, feel free to call us. We would love to hear from you. Our number is 800-775-4673. 800-775, and then that easy word, HOPE, H-O-P-E. So give us a call with your questions. We, as I mentioned, have Dr. Jennings with us, and today is a great day to call in. If you have a question about forgiveness, I know that he can be helpful. So once again, 800-775-4673. You can go to the website, download this program and many other programs that we produce at LifeTalk, www.lifetalk.net. Now, what about forgiveness? It is in the news. There are some things that are in the news right now. Actually, in Science Digest is one place that has reported on forgiveness. In an article in Science Digest recently, they say that holding a grudge appears to affect the cardiovascular and nervous systems. I don't think that would be a real surprise to any of us, but here is a scientific publication saying that studies have proven, or at least demonstrated now, that holding a grudge will affect the cardiovascular and the nervous systems. In one study, it says, people who focused on a personal grudge had elevated blood pressure and heart rates, as well as increased muscle tension and feelings of being less in control. When asked to imagine forgiving the person whom had hurt them, the participants said they felt more positive and relaxed, and thus changes that were taking place in their cardiovascular or nervous systems, those changes dissipated. Other studies have shown that forgiveness has positive effects on psychological health as well. End of quote. So there you have it from Science Digest. I think we're going to make a couple references here today to the Bible, of course, and I think that we'll notice that the Bible really had all this figured out a long time ago. Which brings to mind, I have in my hand a book. We're going to give away two of these today. We'll do one at the, we'll just do two of them at the end of the program. Could it be this simple? This is a book by our guest, Dr. Tim Jennings, and it is A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by our guest, Dr. Tim Jennings. And the Bible really does have some wonderful things to say about mental and physical well-being and also spiritual well-being. And, of course, when we talk about forgiveness, all of this comes together. Well, Dr. Jennings addresses some of this in his book, Could It Be This Simple? And if you'd like to have an opportunity to have a copy of this sent out to you free of charge, give us a call today, and we have two of those that we'll make available at the end of the program, by way of drawing from among those of you that have called in. Well, according to Science Digest, they say that forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting, condoning, or excusing whatever has happened. It acknowledges hurt and then letting go, along with the burden of anger and resentment. So, anyway, there you have it from Science Digest. Now, in the Dallas Morning News, they also were quoting some studies that have been done, and they're referring at this juncture to Dr. Fred Luston, who is the director of the Stanford Forgiveness Projects, entitled Forgive for Love. And in that Dallas Morning News, as they are referencing Dr. Fred Luston, they say that most religions teach that forgiveness is a virtue. But how to truly forgive when face-to-face with the person who has inflicted the pain is another matter, and I think they're exactly right on that. Christianity certainly teaches forgiveness. The teachings of Christ are full of the issue of forgiveness. Jesus, at the most significant hour of his life, after having been abused in a way that no one else in the world had ever been mistreated, Jesus on the cross cried out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, it is no question about it that religion teaches forgiveness, but how to implement that and to do it appropriately may be a big challenge. And so I think that probably Dr. Fred Luston, as reported in the Dallas Morning News, really has gotten that right. He continues to say that half the world is the way it is because people have been hurt by others and they take it out on someone else. We are constantly playing the negative stuff forward. So that's what's in the news currently about forgiveness, and I'm sure There's probably a lot more, but anyway, those are some stories that are in the news. Let me share with you a passage from the Bible. This comes from the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest passages in the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 31, the Apostle Paul pled with the people of his day, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." He covered all of those negative things, it looks like. And then he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you." And by the way, forgiveness there in the original language really does mean forgiveness in the same way that we would understand it today. But what a great text of the Bible. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as God, Christ and God has forgiven you. Now, our Bible question today is this. What text says that anger resides or continues in the lap of fools? What Bible text says that anger resides or continues in the lap of fools? And if you know the answer to that, give us a call, 800-775-4673. Well, Dr. Jennings, great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And as we think of this issue of forgiveness and thinking also of your book, Could It Be the Simple, a Biblical Model for Healing the Mind, I know a lot that you deal with undoubtedly has to do with the issue of guilt and forgiveness in that whole area of life. And it seems to me from a Christian perspective that this text that the Apostle Paul wrote is so important. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate, forgiving one another as Christ and God has forgiven you.
There's no question about it. And the things you've read in the news are exactly right. And we can go into more detail if you like. But grudge holding, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness activates the sympathetic nervous system, which results in increasing stress hormone release, which results in increasing risk of depression and all kinds of physical problems in the body with heart attacks, risk, stroke risk, obesity, diabetes, all kinds of just drain on the physiology because of the resentment and bitterness held.
So it does sound like God knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come. And once again, we would love to hear from you. 800-775-HOPE. We'll be right back.
Do you agree? Let us know. 800-775-4673.
Louis, do you think I'm attractive?
Oh, Marie Antoinette, my bride, you are vivacious and beautiful.
I thought so.
There is but one small thing.
Oh?
Marie, you must pay attention to the financial crisis facing the kingdom.
Oh, that.
Marie, the peasants are revolting.
I agree.
They have no bread to eat.
Well, let them eat cake.
My queen, if you don't pay attention to our money situation, we shall be ruined.
Failing to heed the warning signs of financial trouble can lead to disaster. Ignoring your financial problems won't make them go away. It'll only make them worse.
Marie, my sweet, the peasants are demonstrating in the streets. I think you're really sticking our necks out.
Oh, Louis, what can happen?
For a free online budget guide that can help you face up to your financial situation, visit crown.org. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. Our guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, a psychiatrist, and he joins us from time to time. And we're delighted to have him in the studio today as we talk about the issue of forgiveness. You can give us a call, 800-775-4673. If you have a question that you'd like to ask of Dr. Jennings or something that you'd like to discuss concerning the topic of forgiveness, then please pick up the phone right now and give us a call. Also, I'll remind you again, you can download this program and others. Just go to our website, www.lifetalk.net. And we are giving away two of Dr. Jennings' books today. We have the book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A great book, a book that really has been extremely well received. And I know that if you get this book today, you will enjoy it. And Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And Dr. Jennings, why don't we just tell everyone right now where they can get the book if they don't walk away with one of these two copies?
Well, they can get the book on Amazon.com, and they can get it at Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore, they can walk in and ask for it, and they can be ordered for them. They can go to our website, comeandreason.com, and order it from our website as well.
All right. So those are places that you can find the book. And once again, could it be this simple, a biblical model for healing the mind? And yes, God does do things simply, and I've always appreciated that about the Lord and how simple things really can be. Let me throw the Bible question out one more time. What Bible text says that anger resides or continues in the lap of fools? If you know the answer to that, give us a call, 800-775-HOPE. Well, Dr. Jennings, you know, it really is simple. I have often said, of course, my background, we come from two different backgrounds. Yours in psychiatry, mine in theology. But I've always said that sometimes we make things a lot more complicated than they need to be. Now, that's not to negate the fact that there are complicated things about the scriptures. We have massive volumes written on systematic theology and, you know, biblical backgrounds and history and languages and all these other kinds of things. And all of those studies are important. But when you come right down to it, the plan of salvation is simple. Some of the lifestyle things that God would have us to adopt really aren't difficult, and they are really pretty simple. So I like the title of your book, Could It Be This Simple?
Thank you. Thank you. And when it comes to what we're talking about today, our topic of forgiveness, in my book, I've got a chapter on there. We explore seven myths that actually impair or obstruct people's ability to forgive. One of the things you mentioned from the news story about the doctor saying that it's really hard to forgive people when you see them face to face, there's reasons for that. And those reasons are usually some error in understanding the process. One of the biggest that I've found, one of the myths, is forgiveness. If you forgive somebody, it means that they get away with it. And this has to do with a misunderstanding about the nature and character of sin. The Bible describes it that the wages of sin is death, that sin damages the sinner. It actually transforms or injures our character, sears our conscience, as Paul talks about. Therefore, this idea that if you forgive somebody, they get away with it is really a false idea. I have patients who have been abused or molested as children. And at some point in their healing process, we have to explore the issue of forgiveness, that they, in their heart, need to forgive the person, to lay down that bitterness, that resentment, that anger, forgive the person who did it. They often have difficulty, and I will ask them a question. Who do you think got damaged more, you or the person who abused you? And they always say, you know, me.
Right.
And I ask them the question. I said, well, if God took you to heaven right now and gave you a choice that you can have your life just like it is, no changes whatsoever, or he will let you trade lives with the person who abused you, you get to live their life and go around abusing kids, but you never get abused, whose life do you choose? 100% of my patients so far have chosen their own life, and I ask them why. And that's when the light goes on. They realize, whoa, if you do that to somebody else, something seriously gets damaged inside you. See, if you're a victim of abuse, you may have been damaged physically, emotionally, psychologically, but your soul remains untainted. Your conscience remains unseared. Your character remains unsullied. You see, you're still in right standing with God, that purity of heart, that clear conscience. But if you damage other people, then you sear the conscience. You damage the soul. You transform the character in an ugly way.
Right.
And so when that recognition comes on, you realize, whoa, I don't have to hold them accountable. I don't have to hold vengeance out against them because they've injured themselves when they injured me.
Well, let's talk about some types of offenses. Let's look at this maybe from another side of the issue. I know as a pastor that I have spent a lot of my time dealing and trying to encourage church members that have felt offended for one reason or another. And it seems like almost everyone feels offended at times. What are some of the categories of offenses? Now, I know this could be endless, but let's see if we can narrow some of these down and talk about offenses. You have mentioned the issue of child abuse. But of course, there are people get offended and don't forgive other people for either offenses that actually happened or perceived offenses. And I know from your background, you no doubt see this and have opportunity to help people through some of that. And once again, as a pastor, That was something that I know as a pastor, I did almost all the time, and most pastors do.
You've actually inadvertently raised a subtle issue, a subtle distinction. There are those offenses that have actually happened where then we do need to extend forgiveness in order to free ourselves from the burden. We've actually been done wrong. We've been sinned against. We've been harmed. But there are those things in which no wrong has been done, and we're still offended.
Right.
Okay? That doesn't require forgiveness because there's nothing to forgive. That requires the truth being applied to one's own heart, recognizing that the problem is in my selfish heart being offended where no wrong was done.
Right.
You see, so there are, it's a subtle little difference there in order to resolve those two. So, and what you're describing in the church often happens from misunderstanding, where no offense was actually perpetrated, where no wrong was done, where somebody just misperceived something and a misunderstanding occurred rather than a true offense.
Well, and I don't mean to even minimize every offense that happens in a church congregation, because many times there are legitimate offenses.
That's,
I mean,
true
church
too.
Members offend each other. They do things they shouldn't do, and sometimes they're major, sometimes they're not, they're, you know, not so significant. But at the same time, it seems to me that there's almost no limit to the reasons for which people can be offended.
And the roots, though, have to be, usually, if you think about it, self. We're watching out for self and the lack of love for that other person. Imagine, for instance, how you would feel if you found out your 5-year-old little girl was being molested by an 18-year-old. How would you feel? Would you be angry?
Well, sure.
How about though, the 18-year-old is your oldest son? Does that change your attitude suddenly? Who do you have more concern for? Are you most concerned about the 5-year-old? You certainly have concern. But isn't your greater concern for the soul of your 18-year-old who would be so twisted in his heart to do such a thing in the first place?
Well, and you raise, of course, in that a whole lot of issues.
But that's the love piece that we miss. And as Christians, when we love our brothers as ourselves, then when we're offended, our heart actually immediately goes out to say, this is how Christ was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They think they're killing me. But what they're actually doing is they're destroying their own souls.
Right.
And I love them, and I hate to see them destroy themselves. And when somebody offends us, when we have that perspective, we're able to see that they're actually destroying their own soul rather than actually hurting us.
All right. We have a lot more to talk about when it comes to forgiveness. We're also going to the phones, and we're going to talk to Suzette in Florida as soon as we get back. So stay tuned. Stay with us. And we're going to have a discussion today with you. We are having a discussion about forgiveness, and we would love to hear from you.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Open up the newspaper on any given day, and you'll read about another suicide bomber, or another group of oppressed people being persecuted, or a vicious crime being committed in your own town. It is a dangerous world, and sometimes that world is closer than on the other side of the globe. It's a world that needs Jesus and His unconditional love. We have an opportunity every day to show the world that Jesus cares, because we're the hands and feet of our Savior in our own little corner of the world. Christian Radio is here to be a support for you, to not only keep you informed, but to encourage you in your daily walk. Together, we can help the entire world see the grace of God, one neighborhood at a time.
Life Talk Radio is listener-supported, meaning that we can only keep bringing the message of God's love to this area if our listeners step up and support us financially. Pray that God will show you how you can help Life Talk Radio.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about forgiveness today. I have in the studio with me psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and so we are having a wonderful time talking about this topic. It is a very important topic. It is not always an easy topic, but it is an extremely important topic. In fact, it strikes right at the very basis, I believe, of where we come from as Christians and what we believe and teach and understand, and certainly that was true in the life of Christ. And we'll share some more of that as we go through the program today. I also have Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by our guest, Dr. Tim Jennings. We're giving one of these away, or two of these away. We'll do it at the end of the program today. All you have to do is give us a call, join us on the air, and we will select two individuals from that group. 800-775-4673. And now we are going to Florida, and we're going to speak to Suzette. Suzette, it is so nice to have you on the air today.
Yes, thank you. My question to you is this. If you are a victim of sexual abuse, and you don't know who the person is who did it, how do you know if you've forgiven the person? How do you forgive somebody who hurts you and you don't know who the person is?
All right. Good question. Dr. Jennings?
Yeah, I think the issue is really one of the heart attitude rather than the specific. If the person was a masked man and you didn't know who it was, for instance, your attitude would be one of my heart forgives, relinquishes the desire for vengeance, relinquishes the bitterness, the anger, the resentment. Whomever they are, my heart, through Christ's grace, longs for their redemption, longs for their transformation, longs for them to be restored in righteousness so that they would rather give their lives than harm anybody again in the future. It's that change in your heart attitude where you don't want to see them suffer and pay for what they did, but you want to see them transformed to be like Christ as well. So, and by the way, the act of forgiveness is the pathway through which the person who has been victimized heals. We can't heal if we don't forgive. A lot of people get this confused, and they think forgiveness somehow justifies the offense. It does not. I had a lady who told me that come up to me at church and said that her daughter married a man who was beating her daughter, physically beating the daughter. Now, the lady telling me this had not been harmed herself, but she had incredible amounts of resentment and anger towards the man who was beating her daughter.
Right.
It planted a seed in her heart. If she didn't forgive the young man, if she let that seed grow, then she's going to become bitter, anger, resentful, hard-hearted. And over the course of time, she will actually become in character like the man who beats her daughter. This is the insidiousness of sin. When we're harmed by someone else, Satan plants a seed of anger, resentment, hurt in our heart, that if we don't root it out through God's grace of forgiveness, that we actually over time will be transformed to be as ugly in heart as the person who hurt us.
All right, Suzette, anything else, or do you have a follow-up?
Well, I want to know also if you have to forgive face-to-face.
Not necessarily.
What if, you want to forgive somebody, but there's no way you can get in contact with that person.
No, that's a great question. That is a great question. No, it's not necessary for you to experience, for you to forgive in your heart. You don't have to search that person down and find out where they are. In fact, many times I advise my patients not to seek the person out. It's not necessary because seeking the person out when that person has not repented, when that person has not changed, only opens that person up to be injured or hurt again. But the forgiving heart is work that you can do without ever seeking that person out. And your heart remains open for a reconciliation, i.e., as in the day that Christ comes again, when King David meets Uriah. We're going to expect that Uriah is going to have a heart of forgiveness for David, okay? Right. And that type of a heart, but we don't have to seek that person out today to do it. No, you do it in your heart, hoping for the day that that person, whomever it is, would be a trustworthy person who loves you so much they would give their life for your happiness.
Okay.
All right, Suzette, anything else?
Yes. I think that answers everything. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome, and thanks so much for calling. God bless.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Minnesota now. We're going to speak with Thomas. Thomas, it's good to have you on the air. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. You're on the air from coast to coast.
See, I've got a question on this forgiveness.
Okay.
When I was a very young child, I was mistreated very, and I... been an offender myself, physically, verbally. And when you have a forgiveness, I was wondering through the Bible, through my heart, through my mind, through my soul, through the Holy Spirit, as long as I've forgiven them through the Holy Spirit, I don't have to have, like I have a Christian brothers hit me with, because I bring up the past. But I'm also a recovering alcoholic, and we are required to help newcomers to mention our past, to let them know where we have come from and where we came from and how God has forgiven us and how God has leads us back to the light,
right,
and leads us out of the darkness. But they keep bashing me for bringing up the past.
Well,
and I just tell them, I said, I have no alien in my heart or my mind towards these people, but I have not forgotten what they have done to me.
Right. I think it's a good approach. You have two good biblical models, I'm sure more, but you have the Apostle Paul, of course, that was eager. He did not overdo it, but he also wanted people to know, to use his terminology, that he was the chief of sinners. And then, of course, our guest, Dr. Jennings, just mentioned David a moment ago, And we find that David wrote over and over about forgiveness, one psalm in particular, where David noted his unworthiness to come before the Lord and God's great worthiness in accepting him. So we do have those biblical models. Dr. Jennings?
I appreciate you, Thomas, bringing this up. It's one of the myths. One of the myths of the seven myths that I've identified that people have is that forgiveness means forgetting. It does not mean forgetting. And there's some texts in the Bible where God says, you know, if you confess your sins, I will throw them as far as the east is from the west, deep as the sea, and remember them no more. And people think that that means amnesia. That's not what that means. They think it means erasing from history. That's not what that means. What it means is forgiveness means forgetting as far as the relationship is concerned once reconciliation occurs. Let me give you a quick example. Let's say you have a first grader, and that first grader fibs or lies to you. You have, as a loving parent, already a forgiving heart towards them, and you seek in love to discipline, to put them on the right path. And under appropriate loving discipline, that child genuinely repents, Daddy, I'm so sorry, I'll never tell you another fib, and there's hugs, kisses, and reconciliation occurs. The next day when you come home and that first grader comes running out to see you, Daddy, Daddy, do you think, here comes that little liar of mine? No, it's forgotten as far as the relationship is concerned. But that doesn't mean there's amnesia or memory erasure. And so one of the things I hear you saying that you do is that you have a testimony to give about how you have been healed by God in the same way a person who's recovered from leukemia might talk about the sickness and the days of sickness and their leukemia, but they give credit to the treatment and the doctor who's made them well. So you remember those painful experiences you came through, but you're sharing what God has done to heal you, which gives significance to God's grace in your life.
All right, Thomas, stay with us if you would. We have to go into break, but just stay with us, Thomas, and we'll talk to you off the air as well. So stay with us and stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment, and we are talking about forgiveness today. Our guest is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. You can feel free to call 800-775-HOPE.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
I know I can find this place. Just trust me.
If you had stopped and asked for directions like I suggested 5 miles ago, we would be there right now.
Believe it or not, ladies, your man needs to feel your respect even more than your love. But how do we do that? How do we convey that we do respect our men? Well, one way is to be careful about conveying the opposite. Let me give you a silly example. All of us women have been in the situation where our man is driving in circles and refusing to stop and ask for directions. When we say, honey, please just stop and ask for directions, what our man is hearing is, I don't trust you. And if you think about it, that is kind of what we're saying. So this is a choice. Let's choose to trust the man in our lives and convey to him that he is more important to us than anything else in the world.
A Parable Big Change Moment with Shanti Feldhahn from her book, For Women Only. Parable.com.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. This program is also streamed live online in video form, so you can see everything that goes on in the studio. And if you've missed some of today's discussion, you can watch it later, archived online at our website, lifetalk.net. Or if you'd like a CD copy of today's broadcast, just call 800-775-4673. We're grateful for those who continue to remember Lifetalk in their daily prayers, and we deeply appreciate those who have made financial contributions to keep this ministry going strong. You can donate online at lifetalk.net or by calling that same toll-free number, 800-775-4673. There's more Steve Gallimore Live on the way. Stay with us for the second half of the program.
Steve Gallimore back with you. How to forgive is our topic for today. Psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings is our guest in studio with us, and we're talking about this issue. You too can join us here by way of phone. Pick it up. Give us a call. 800-775-4673. We're giving away two of Dr. Jennings' books, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. Great book. It has been extremely well received, and we have two of these. We'll give them away at the end of the program. 800-775-HOPE. We have Thomas in Minnesota that is on the phone with us. Thomas, let me come back to you and have you finish up on some of the things that you were going to share with us, and then we'll have Dr. Jennings comment on that.
Well, the thing I was having problems with is when I've been in the A program for 20-some years, and I recently quit going because I have learned through the A program the steps of 1 through 12 are right from the Bible.
Right.
And they believe that there is no cure for alcoholism.
Right.
The A program. But then the Christianity world, the brothers and sisters, the Christianity part, when you switch from there to there, I say, well, you need food, you need to go further than 1 through 12.
Right. There's no question. Bible talks a lot about the Christian growth experience. But let me ask you, Thomas, are you talking about forgiving yourself? Are you saying that needs to become a point where you say you forgive yourself and you move on with life? Or I'm trying to sort through exactly what you'd like for us to respond about.
What I'm saying is that I'm having troubles with living my life as a Christian because I quit going to AA, so the Christian family, because I say God healed me.
Okay.
So then for the Christian people who Christ lives in, and in some people, then they put, and they go out and they put out snares, tripping blocks, and do whatever they can do to make me trip and fall because they believe I should stay out of bars or I shouldn't go here or I shouldn't go there, like a Holiday Inn where there's recreation,
right,
karaoke and so on, shoot pool.
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to go in gas stations or, you know, wherever alcohol served. If I'm going to go get drunk, I don't need to go to a bar to get drunk.
Well, it seems to me, Thomas, and we're going to have our guest comment on this as well, but it seems to me from a Christian standpoint that we are in a world of sin, and until Jesus comes again and takes us all to heaven, we are going to continue to be in a world of sin. And it would seem to me that it's wise to stay away from the things that tempt us into sin. It would seem to me that that's simply a good approach, and also to stay away from those things and those places that are not in harmony with God's will to start out with. Now, on the other hand, you also need to be able to live your life, it would seem to me, in a way that is normal and is functional. But Dr. Jennings, any thoughts?
Yes, I think there's some confusion over the difference between the brain, the body, and the mind. And what God is offering to heal here, we get the mind of Christ, the Bible says.
Right.
We can have our minds, our consciences cleansed, our reasoning powers ennobled, our characters transformed. But we don't get new brains or bodies here on this earth. And thus, those who have genetic weaknesses and vulnerabilities to dependence issues and alcoholism and so forth remain vulnerable to those things until this corruption puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality. And so the AA people may be saying that there always remains that genetic predisposition and vulnerability to these things. You may be saying, hey, but you know what? I have a new heart and a right spirit because the Holy Spirit has come in and transformed my mind. Exactly true. Both are true. And it's not an either-or situation. And so what the devil is going to do is he's going to play off of your weakened biology and try to damage your mind through attacking your physiology by getting you to walk back in some of those old destructive pathways again. And therefore, Steve's comments about avoiding things that would put us at increased risk or temptation are completely consistent with the Bible, because it recognizes that we are still vulnerable in this world, even though the Holy Spirit is regenerating our mind in Christ-likeness.
Well, Thomas, I think on the one hand, we can say, praise God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think you can walk away from alcohol and say, thank you, Lord, for the victory over alcoholism. But that doesn't mean then that you turn right around and say, okay, I'm going to see how good my victory is, and I'm going to see how close I can get that cup of alcohol or glass of alcohol to my lips without becoming an alcoholic again. To me, that just, first of all, doesn't make good sense, and certainly I think is not in keeping with what God would have us do.
So when I go up to communion, and the Bible says, take my food and eat it, and take my blood and drink it,
yes,
and therefore I should refuse communion.
You should refuse communion based on what?
Because it has alcohol.
Well, if it has alcohol,
Bible,
I'd refuse
Bible,
it too.
Bible,
I'll just be real blunt here, and I know some people are going to be offended by me saying this, Thomas. If it has alcohol in it, it's not performing the work of the Lord Jesus. I would insist on non-alcoholic juice.
The other issue is when you said, take my blood, and when Jesus said, take my blood and drink my blood and eat my flesh, he wasn't talking about the communion service there. There's no reference to the communion service in that text. He was actually talking about taking the blood it's a metaphor, it's a symbol, and the life is in the blood, and he's talking about internalizing or taking into your heart and character Christ, taking him in, ingesting him, feeding on the word, feeding on the character of Christ, and taking him into the heart, mind, and character. It's not an actual physical ingestion of some substance. It's a character ingestion of truth, love, grace, goodness of Christ. That's what it's talking about.
Well, Thomas, you know, if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus, if you have been born again, you should participate in communion. But you should not allow, if the group that you're a member of, if they insist on serving alcoholic beverages to their members, first of all, I think they're absolutely wrong in doing that. But certainly you, of all people, if you're an alcoholic, should stay away from their alcohol. I know there is one particular communion of people, and they do serve alcohol at their communion service, and their religious leaders are well known for alcoholism. And so, anyway, our topic today is not alcohol, but we do address that from time to time. But I hope that makes some sense to you, Thomas, and maybe we've been some help, I hope.
Well, Satan has slipped me some drugs when I was in a bar.
Okay.
And I was on a trip, and it's still, I have no desire, no hinkering, no mind slip whatsoever since I've asked him to take that desire away from me.
Good. Well,
I've had people slip drugs into my drink when I was in a bar.
Well, it doesn't change the nature.
Communion,
yeah, Thomas, it doesn't change the nature of the drug or the alcohol. Stay away from it. Then I think you'll really be able to say that the Lord's giving you the victory.
I was back in church itself.
Yeah. Well, Thomas, thanks a lot. We're going to move along now, Thomas, but thanks so much for calling in, and God bless.
Take care.
Uh-huh, thanks. Bye-bye.
I'll stay in the Word.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Jennings, when we talk about forgiveness, one issue that I'd like for us to address is the, you know, we talk about some of the mechanisms of forgiveness. We need to come back and talk about some more of those mechanisms of forgiveness. But it seems to me in this whole issue of forgiveness, one of the most problematic issues raised by Christ is the unlimited nature of forgiveness. Now, that could mean two things, it would seem to me. One is that if you have 1,000 people that have sinned against you, you forgive all of them. If you have 10,000 people that have sinned against you or offended you in some way, you forgive all of them. That doesn't seem to be so problematic. But when we think of the unlimited nature of forgiveness as Jesus taught it, between one individual and another individual, When Jesus said to Peter 70 times 70, Jesus really, in that statement, lifted the bar to infinity. That is a tough one, and I think we need to talk about that, both from the scriptural standpoint and from how to deal with life and the realities of life, as you do, of course, as a psychiatrist all the time. Stay tuned. We're going back to the phones. Our number is 800-775-HOPE. We'll be right back.
Make a comment on today's show. Call 800-775-4673.
Is your life stuck in fast forward? Are you doing more and enjoying less? Do you feel stressed out and tired?
If so, help is here. Speaker, pastor, and author Carl Hafner points the way to relief for the stressed out, worn out, and burned out. With humor and wisdom, Carl Hafner shows in his new book, Soul Matters, that it's possible to live a sane and balanced life in a world gone mad. But there's a catch. You must learn to cheat the lesser gods and clamor for your attention in order to honor the one true God. Find rest for your weary soul. Pick up a copy of Carl Hafner's book, Soul Matters, today. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call
1-800-765-6955. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about forgiveness today. Our guest is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. He's in the studio with us. And if you have a question or comment, feel free to give us a call, 800-775-HOPE. We're giving away two of Dr. Jennings' books today. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And we will have a drawing for those at the end of the program from among those of you that call in and join us on the air. It's our way of saying thank you for your participation. By the way, these books are being given away courtesy of our guest today. We want to thank him for that. 800-775-4673. Before we went to break, Dr. Jennings, I brought up the issue of unlimited forgiveness. And this, of course, is a problem. It has been a problem all down through Christian history. But unlimited forgiveness, and it to some degree was the issue over which the Protestant Reformation revolved. We know that some in certain religious communions did not accept it, and so penitence was assigned and these kinds of things because the concept of unlimited forgiveness was problematic. But I think it's unquestionably clear that Jesus taught the doctrine of unlimited forgiveness, and we struggle with that. I think all of us struggle with that. I mean, if somebody comes up and kicks me in my shins, I may say, oh, ouch, you know, I'll forgive you this time. Well, you know, just don't come back and do it again.
And I think that people struggle for multiple reasons, including the myth in my book. I've got a patient, her name was Kate. She came to see me distressed because her husband had just cheated on her for the sixth time. The first five times he cheated, she did the same thing. She threw him out. He ran to her pastor, fell down on his knees, crying, saying, I've committed a terrible sin. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, but my wife has thrown me out. The pastor picks him up, goes to Kate and says, the Lord has seen clear to forgive you your sins. Can't you forgive your husband his sins? And therefore, she took him back each time the same thing. And now the sixth time he's cheated on her again, and he's done the same thing. And the pastor is saying, you need to take your husband back. But there's a subtle myth involved here, and that myth is forgiveness equals restore trust. It does not. She does need to forgive him so she can heal, so she can remove bitterness, resentment, anger from her heart. But her forgiveness of him in her heart does not transform him into a trustworthy human being. And until he is trustworthy, it would be foolish to trust him. And so some of these myths get perpetrated out, so it makes it hard to forgive and see Jesus. We recognize that the person who sins damages and destroys themselves. That we don't have to stay angry at people. We don't have to stay resentful at people. We don't have to stay bitter. We can actually have compassion and sorrow. She can forgive her husband and feel sad that he's destroying his soul. You see? One of the other myths that contributes to this is forgiveness equals salvation. Many Christians are pursuing God's forgiveness. In multiple different ways in Christianity, it's taught we're trying to get God to forgive us. But the Bible teaches, and I saw some of your notes earlier, you got some of those quotes in there from the scripture, that God is the God who is forgiving. He's described to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, a God who forgives sins and iniquities. I mean, that's right. His character. He forgives. But his forgiveness, look at Christ on the cross, when he forgave those who put him up there.
Right.
Okay? Did that now make them his friends? Are they now on his side? Are they now somebody who can be trusted? Did that actually save them because Christ forgave them? Remember, Christ, when they lowered the man through the roof down to Christ, he said, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.
Right.
So Christ, when he forgave him, he was the one who had the authority to do it.
Right.
And he did it, but they weren't saved.
Right.
Okay? So this idea that forgiveness equals salvation is another myth, and that's why people are hard to do it. But when you recognize forgiveness is a revelation of the character of the one who was offended, it reveals who I am, how I respond, not anything about the other person. And the other myth is, when we forgive, it means it's okay. And we often use that in our language. Somebody says, I'm sorry I did that, and we go, well, that's okay.
Right.
Well, it's not okay. If your little child fibs to you, you forgive them, but it doesn't mean their fib was okay.
Right.
Okay? And so we have these little myths that get into our mind that make it hard to forgive, and we eradicate those, and we see things the way they are. Yes, I want to forgive you, but it doesn't mean what you did was okay. It doesn't mean I trust you, and it doesn't mean that you're saved, and it doesn't mean that we're reconciled, because you haven't repented yet. You haven't had a change of heart. You haven't become that person I can trust. And it's really, in biblical terms, you know, salvation is the issue of reconciliation with God, right, not getting God to forgive us.
Well, you know, tracking along with our discussion today, even though it hasn't been on the surface, but tracking along with that is the issue of repentance.
Yes.
Really, repentance and forgiveness have to be discussed together. And the Apostle Paul addresses this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I like how he does this. He talks about godly sorrow, and he talks about worldly sorrow.
Yes.
There are two different ones.
Great.
He says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But then he doesn't end there. I mean, Paul could have said, okay, that's it. I've said enough. But he didn't. He said, but worldly sorrow brings death. To me, that's an intriguing statement.
Oh, that's tremendous. And that's very easily clarified. It's the person who's sorry for the consequences of what they did. They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry they got in trouble. They're sorry their dad took away the TV. But in their mind, they're thinking, okay, how can I do it again next time and not get caught?
Right.
So there's the worldly sorrow of the consequence to them. Whereas the godly sorrow is their sorrow for the evil in their own heart that led them to do whatever that act was in the first place. They're sorry that they hurt another person. They're sorry that they misrepresented God. They're sorry that they took advantage of someone else's trust. And that heart sorrow of grief strickenness that the evil is in them in the first place, that leads to genuine repentance.
Right. And it would seem to me that restoring a relationship through forgiveness, there has to be some analysis of the sorrow
right.
that is there.
And that's the point. In order for reconciliation to occur, there has to be both forgiveness and repentance. Forgiveness is only one side of the equation. It's the offended party's attitude or heart attitude. And that's, we are to be like Christ and forgive. But if that offender never repents, there's no reconciliation.
All right, we know the phone lines are loaded and we're going to the phones as soon as we get back, so stay with us. We'll get to as many of you as we can. Our number is 800-775-HOPE, and like I said, we will be back in just a moment, so stay tuned. There's more to come.
What do you think? Give us a call. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Matthew chapter 27, verse 17.
So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
"Give us Barabbas!"
For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message:
"Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him."
But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed.
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
asked the governor.
"Barabbas!"
they answered.
"What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
Pilate asked.
"Crucify him!"
they all answered.
"Crucify him!" "Have him!"
"Why? What crime has he committed?"
asked Pilate.
"He's a traitor!"
But they shouted all the louder. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
"I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility."
All the people answered,
"His blood is on us and on our children."
Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are discussing forgiveness today. Our guest is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we're going directly to the phones. We're going to Lee in Washington State. Lee, nice to have you on the air. Hi, Lee. Is Lee there? Let's try.
I'm here.
Hi, Lee. You're on the air from coast to coast.
Hi. I just have a question or a comment. It's something that's puzzled me. You know, like somebody has injured somebody else, whatever the case may be.
Okay.
The forgiveness has taken place. The person has asked forgiveness. The forgiven has been, you know, and it's a genuine thing, just like you got through talking about.
Right.
Okay. Does the person that has been asked to forgive, once they forgive, do they have a responsibility to back to that other person? Or does that give them the right to bring it up 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever the case may be, knowing that they are causing hurt or causing maybe people around this person to hurt or people that might not have known that that took place. And I know there is a consequences to hurting somebody. I'm not trying to diminish that. But what I want to know, does it give us the right to keep throwing it back into people's faces year after year after year?
Well, Lee,
is there a point when you have to let it go?
Well, Lee,
let the healing take place.
Sure, and I think, Lee, there are no simple answers to some of these things. A lot of things simply depend on the time and the circumstance and you know, the conditions that we're talking about. However, if someone that has been forgiven now turns around and uses that as a tool, or if a person has been offended and they've forgiven someone and that person now uses that as a tool of manipulation against the person that has asked forgiveness, I think all of us would say, you know, I can't think of any place for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the question and the clarifying point there was that you said it was genuine forgiveness and genuine repentance. So if it was both genuine, then it wouldn't be coming up again. So the person who says they've forgiven either hasn't forgiven, or they have other issues in their own heart where they want to manipulate, control, and exploit other people. And so, you're right. We do have a responsibility when reconciliation occurs. Then the issue is no longer remembered as far as that relationship is concerned. It's gone. It's not between you anymore. It's been taken out of the way when reconciliation. So you're describing a situation where verbal forgiveness occurred, but it sounds like heart forgiveness has not really occurred.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know if there was responsibility, because I hear people telling about what their father, what their mother, what certain people did to them so many years ago.
Right.
The hurt's been done, but it never stops. And they hurt that other even though that other person has came to God, you know, and has changed. And has been
Lee, what you're describing is that those people have not healed the wounds that have been inflicted upon them. And so what they're describing is they're still hurting, and it's an evidence that there needs to be some more healing in their own heart. That's what you're describing.
Well, you know, it also brings up an issue in my mind, in Dr. Jennings, the parable that Jesus told. Because, you know, when we talk about the issue of forgiveness, all of us need to give forgiveness and all of us need to receive forgiveness.
That's right.
Because all of us are imperfect in this
That's
world.
Right.
And it reminds me of what Jesus told you, the parable that this man owed a huge debt. And he went to the person that he owed the debt and asked forgiveness, and he was pardoned the debt. He was relieved of the debt. And then he went out and he found someone that owed him just a little bit, got his hands around his neck and started joking him to death, saying, pay me the little bit that you owe me. And of course, the first man that was owed the huge debt found out about this, wasn't happy about it, and took the man and threw him into prison. And Jesus drew the parallel with that story and the lessons of the kingdom. And Jesus said, in the same way, if you're unwilling to forgive others, your Father in heaven's not going to forgive you. So I think when we talk about as you are addressing someone not letting it go, forgetting about it, moving ahead and say, yes, I do forgive you. Let's drop it. Let's leave it here. It kind of reminds me of that story, because it says to me that that person probably does not have a true sense of their own need for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of stand as a judge saying, okay, I've forgiven you. Now I'm standing over you as a judge because of what you've done, without recognizing their own need to also receive forgiveness. And I think if we are true Christians following the footsteps of Christ, we really have to approach this whole issue of forgiveness very humbly, because all of us stand in need of forgiveness. And I think that makes us rather reluctant to inflict pain on others for their hurts against us.
Thank you for your call, Lee.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lee. God bless. All right. Let's go to Bob in Texas. Bob, how are you doing?
Yes, Pastor Gallimore, I would like to ask you, how do you forgive two people who are dead?
Yes. Good question.
Yeah, the issue is the person who needs to do forgiving, they're not dead. Okay? If you're the one who's hurt, if you're the one who's injured, the issue of forgiveness is about your heart work, your mind work, not the work that person did. Whoever it is that offended you, their work would have been the work of repentance. Their responsibility has been the work of opening their heart to the Holy Spirit to experience the gift of repentance and transformation. But your work, regardless of whether the person's alive or dead, whether you ever see him again or not, if you've been injured, you still have the responsibility to seek the Holy Spirit to enable you to have a forgiving heart towards that person, to no longer hold a grudge, because we're planning on seeing people again in a resurrection, And what's your attitude going to be when that day comes? Is it still going to be one of resentment, bitterness, wanting to see that person pay? Or are you going to have a heart of forgiveness and toward them that's been processed through here? So really whether the person's alive or not doesn't really matter. We still need to process through and come and develop that forgiving heart.
Isn't it hard, though, for people to forgive themselves? Isn't it sometimes harder to forgive ourselves than to forgive others?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that I have many patients who struggle with forgiving themselves, and that's a whole nother, we could do another hour show on that.
Right.
Because there's a lot of other myths about why people don't forgive themselves. But yes, people do struggle with that.
Does that help, Bob?
Well, I feel that I have forgiven my in-laws, my mother-in-law and father-in-law of my first marriage. They caused a lot of problems for me, and I ended up in a divorce because of that. But I do feel that after they are dead now, and I do feel that I have forgiven them.
All right.
But I was wondering what your opinion was on that.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Bob. A great question, and God bless.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right, let's go now to Shirley in Oregon. Shirley, how are you doing today?
Hi. I think I have the Bible text. It is Proverbs 29:11. The only one I could find with the word fool and anger in.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
All right.
4 months ago, I visited my parents in California, and they are old, like 90.
Uh-huh.
And while I was there, a younger family member assaulted me.
Okay.
And the mental abuse after it, with everybody in denial and treating me like I inflicted that.
Okay.
What, I don't know, I have forgiven the family members, but what will happen when I go back?
Okay, good question, Shirley. We really are running out of time. Dr. Jennings?
I don't know what's going to happen when you go back, but I do know that it's important for you to come to some peace in your own mind about the circumstances. Remember Jesus' words in John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So you must be convinced in your own mind of what the truth of the circumstances were, that those, whoever that person was that injured you was revealing their character, not your character. And the family members who would somehow blame you are also revealing a lack of empathy, lack of compassion, lack of love on their part. And so no matter how you're treated, remember how Christ was treated when they were abusing him. He was able to recognize that it was a reflection of the other person's heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if people treat you in sinful or evil ways, it's not a reflection on your character, it's a reflection on theirs. And with that perspective, it can enable you to stand at peace even if they accuse you falsely of something.
All right, Shirley, my apology that we're out of time. I wish we had more time to spend on that, but Shirley, thanks for calling. All right, God bless. We are out of time. Dr. Jennings, thanks so much
once again
for being with us, and I do really wish that we had more time to talk about this, but we are out of time. Noel in Florida and Bob in Texas will receive the books, and the answer to the question is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. To each of you, thank you for being with us. We wish you God's blessing. We look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support LifeTalk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net, or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.